Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence. This morning's conversation is with Ralph Basham, Director of the U.S. Secret Service. And joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel. Well, Ralph, we talked earlier about there being an evolution of criminal investigation and also crime due to internet usage. How is the Secret Service responding to this?
Well, we recognize, first of all, that crime in the information age has changed from, describe it as crime in the industrial age. Recognizing, as I said before, someone can attack our systems thousands of miles away by merely use of keystrokes, you know, on a computer. So we've had to adjust our thinking. The whole globalization issue, combined with the information revolution, has really made us rethink the way we approach our responsibilities. In fact, information, as you know, which was once used as a tool to facilitate information itself now is the target. Information is basically the world's new currency. You know, it provides access, it provides and shows our vulnerabilities and weaknesses. And now we're looking at information itself needs to be protected. And attacks on information needs to be aggressively investigated. As you have seen in recent months, large corporations have been hacked into, and information, personal identification, has been gained and is used to acquire and for criminal purposes. So we've had to adjust our thinking to, again, going back to the basics of how we go about our business. And that is we look at the threat, we assess the vulnerability, and then we try to develop countermeasures to deal with that vulnerability. This is a new vulnerability. This is a new threat in the information age and in cyber because of the access that criminals have using technology. We have to get out in front of that. We have to get out in front of the technology in order to come up with countermeasures, and we are working very closely with the financial community, the financial industry, the financial services sector, to look at vulnerabilities and to come up with those countermeasures that are going to prevent those vulnerabilities from being exposed. And so, therefore, we have several initiatives. Well, let me give you an example of a case that we just worked recently. We dubbed it as Operation Firewall. And what that was, it was a case, an investigation that involved, six different countries, eight cities around the United States. And these individuals were carrying on a criminal enterprise, tapping into corporations, obtaining information, credit card numbers, social security numbers. And then they had an open market on the internet, selling and trading that information. And literally, I think we ended up shutting it down with losses somewhere in the neighborhood of $4 or $5 million. But it was estimated that the potential loss from that criminal enterprise could have reached $1 billion. And so we were able to work that investigation, shut that down in a fairly timely fashion, and be able to gain a lot of information as to how these criminal enterprises are conducted, how they work. This was literally, as far as I'm concerned, kids who are comfortable in cyber. They understand cyber. They understand how the systems work, and they were actually taking advantage of those weaknesses. It was a huge criminal enterprise. So we, along with the partners in financial services sector, are able to now take what we've learned, those best practices, and apply it to our investigations, but also building countermeasures to prevent, you know, those kinds of intrusions from occurring in the future.
Well, what's real interesting about that case is that 5, 6, 7 years ago, that capability wouldn't have existed before the proliferation of the internet. And Paul mentioned before, I was thinking before, what would your reaction have been 30 years ago when you started with the Secret Service if somebody asked you what the impact of BlackBerries would be on crime?
Right.
So what are the things that we're going to be seeing in the next couple of years that you're concerned about? What trends and technologies and stuff do you feel start to give a rise to even more advanced crime as we move forward?
Well, again, I think it's just the expansion expansion of the internet. I think it's the constant development technologies that is developed that not only provides services to us, such as, you know, the computers and BlackBerries. Criminals have the same capabilities. They have the same access, and they aren't restricted by any rules or any regulations or any policies. So our concern is that unless we are able to come to some way of regulating, of controlling that access, and I feel that this is going to continue to be one of the big challenges that we're going to face. In fact, right now, identity theft is the biggest challenge in terms from a criminal enterprise that we are seeing. And as you saw, you know, in a couple of cases just recently, Choice Point, LexisNexis, were hacked into. That information was extracted and then sold. And so unless we can build some firewalls in there, for no better term, to restrict that access, then we're going to continue to see these kinds of criminal activities. And it is, to me, as an emerging problem, one that we're absolutely going to have to use technology to fix and to address.
One of the things that is most difficult about these types of crimes is the ease with which they cross local, state, and federal authorities and boundaries. How do you relate with state and local authorities on issues like cybercrime?
Well, we have a number of the Patriot Act actually mandated that the Secret Service establish electronic crimes task forces around the country. We currently have 15 established electronic crime task force, and I believe we have another 8 or so working groups. That what it does, it brings together not just the federal resources, but it brings together state and local. It brings together private sector, brings together academia to take a look at these kinds of criminal activities and working together come up with solutions to fix those vulnerabilities. So these electronic crimes task forces have been very, very successful throughout the country. And it is, again, tapping into those state, local, and federal assets to get that done.
It's interesting that you mentioned the private sector. That kind of, as I was thinking through, I was thinking state, I was thinking local. What more can the private sector do to be able to help on issues like identity theft?
Well, it's interesting because I do a lot of speaking engagements to the financial services sector, and we talk about shared responsibility. Historically, the financial services sector has been a very cloistered sector because what happens to them affects their bottom line. But if you attack one of these institutions and attack it successfully, you literally are attacking the entire sector, because those vulnerabilities can be exposed in other institutions. So it's about the willingness to provide information to law enforcement authorities that can get in at an early stage and work with them. Because after all, they are the experts. I mean, when you think about it, they know their business. They understand the business. They understand when those occurrences happen. And the financial services sector is now much, much more cooperative with the law enforcement community, realizing that without that partnership, those vulnerabilities are going to be further exposed, which means it's going to affect those bottom lines.
These have got to be sophisticated crimes requiring talented people on both sides. In terms of sort of folks in the Secret Service, what type of challenges do you have recruiting and retaining people to deal with these very sophisticated crimes?
We have seen an awful lot of interest in the private sector in acquiring individuals who have the sorts of investigative technical talents that Secret Service's employees possess. In fact, we invest an awful lot in our agents in training in the forensic examination of these in these crimes. And we're seeing that the private sector sees now the benefits of building a protection around their different companies and facilities from a cyber perspective. And you combine the investigative tools that are developed with agents in the service, as well as that forensic capability. You've got quite a package there, and it's a very attractive package for the private sector to draw, and they are able to better pay for those kinds of services. So it is a challenge. However, I have to say that we have an awful lot of committed and dedicated people in the organization. They understand how critical the mission is, and they understand that if we're going to be successful, we're going to need to maintain that talent within the agency to be able to work these types of criminal activities. And although it's not to say that we don't lose people, but I'm happy to say that we've been able to maintain our staffing at a very reasonable level.
Yeah, those are some tough economics, the way you laid it out. What does the future hold for the Secret Service? We'll ask its director, Ralph Basham, for his perspective when the Business of Government Hour returns.